In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters, this is Divine Mercy Sunday, the Sunday which we celebrate every year in the end of the octave of Easter, the first 8 days of Easter. Easter is 50 days, as you know, we celebrate, although every Sunday is Easter, we celebrate in the church as well. But this Sunday, 8 days after the great feast of the celebration of Easter, we celebrate God's divine mercy. God, who died on the cross to save us from our sin, rose from the dead to give us new life, wishes to pour his mercy out upon mankind. All men and women to come to him to seek his mercy, because we all need it. We are all, sadly, sinners. We have all, in some way, failed, fallen, gone against what we know to be right, chosen to do what we knew to be wrong, and are in need of God's mercy. Anyone who thinks they're not in need of God's mercy is probably more in need of it than they realize, because their pride is in the way of them seeing themselves as a creature, as a sinner, as one in need of God's grace. We all come to recognize, and we should all come to recognize, this reality, this fact. There's no one is perfect. We are all weak and we all fall. We all need grace. We all need God. We all need his mercy. You, me, and the Pope. Everybody. And on this day, we have this beautiful gospel in which we see Jesus appear before his apostles and establish, found, that sacrament in which he pours his divine mercy upon us. We already know that baptism is the great sacrament of mercy, because in baptism we are cleansed of our sins, washed clean, made pure, temples of God. If we were to die in the instant after we were baptized, we'd go straight to heaven, because our souls would be totally white. And yet God the Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, knew that although we had received this great grace, undeservedly, of being cleansed of our sins, of becoming temples of God, of the Holy Trinity dwelling within us, that's what it means to be God's temple, to live in God's grace, God's presence in my soul. God knew that even then, after having received such a great gift that none of us deserved, we all deserve the punishment that he took upon himself, yet he took it so that we wouldn't have to go through it in order to give to us the gift that we didn't deserve of divine life. And even after having given that to us, he knew that we would still be weak, that we would still fail, that we would still sin, that we would still at times lie and cheat, be greedy and lustful and gluttonous, selfish and proud, vain, that we would choose the delicious fruit that was appealing to our eye over his desire and will for us to obey him and do his will first. He knew that. And that's why Jesus gives us this sacrament, which comes after baptism. It just came to my mind, one time I was called to give an anointing of the sick when I was still working down in Queen Creek. And I went up to the house, and they said it was an emergency. I got there as fast as I could. And when I walked in, they said, "Father, can you wait for our sister, because she's on her way?" And I said, "Well, let me go in first, and I'll do his confession while we're waiting, and then when she gets here, we'll all go in and we'll do the anointing." So I went in. The man was all with some tubes, and he couldn't talk. But he could squeeze my hand and move his eyelids. So I knew he could understand. So I asked him to ask God forgiveness for all his sins, because God wanted to give him his mercy in this moment before he died. and I was going to give him absolution. So I gave him absolution. And I finished confession, I walked out, and I says, okay, when your sister gets here, we'll go in and do the anointing. Well, it turns out the man says to me, Father, my sister, when we called her now, just said, remind Father that Dad wants to be baptized. I said, he hasn't been baptized? He said, no, he lived in Mexico in the mountains, and he was going to be baptized, but they didn't. Then they moved, and they didn't baptize, and then he moved again and moved again. And he's been asking for the last year to get baptized before he died. I don't know why they kept putting it off. Well, I said, well, that confession wasn't worth anything. He hasn't been baptized yet, and confession is for after you've been baptized. So I said, well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to wait for your sister because your father is dying. He's holding on to his last breaths. I've seen this many times. He doesn't have a whole long to last. So come on, whoever's here, we're going to baptize him right now. So I went in, baptized him, confirmed him, gave him the sacraments, and I walked out of the room, and a minute after I walked out, the son walked out and said, my dad just passed away. That man had been waiting his whole life to get baptized, to receive God's mercy and grace and love. He was holding on. Once he knew he was baptized, he said, okay, I can go. And boy, I told his son, I wish I could grab his coattail because he's going straight in. He just received the grace of God's mercy that was given to us undeservedly by Christ. And we share in it through this sacrament of baptism. But then those of us who didn't have the grace of being able to go straight to heaven right after we got that, we walk along this earth, we pick up a lot of dust. Remember when Jesus comes to Peter in the washing of the feet, and he says to him these words, you have already been bathed. No? You don't need me to wash everything, because that's already been done. That's baptism. But your feet pick up dust along the way. That's confession. Because we need to clean them over and 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 over again. Yeah? That's why confession is a repeatable sacrament. Because God's mercy is constantly there for us. I've heard people say at times, I don't want to abuse God's mercy. And it's true. We don't want to, you know, say, oh, I'm going to go sin and then I'm going to go to confession, go sin and I'm going to go to confession. Like, that's what they mean when they say abuse God's mercy. But then I think to myself, is it possible even to abuse God's mercy? Because God is merciful. That's who he is. It's enough to look at the cross and to see what he did for us. You see, oftentimes people put in contrast God's justice and God's mercy. God's a merciful God, but he's also a just God. Yeah, that's true. But it turns out that God's justice, which means inflicting the punishment upon those who have failed according to the law, right, so that they will be justified, God did it by inflicting it upon himself on the cross to show us, the wicked and the sinful, his mercy. And so God's justice and God's mercy shouldn't be put in contrast with each other, because God's justice is his mercy. He wants us to come to him. He won't force his mercy upon us. And so if we are condemned at the end of our life, it will not be because God condemned us. It's because we chose not to accept his mercy. God's justice is his mercy. I do not wish for the sinner to die and be lost, but to convert and be saved. Words of God through Revelation. And thus, God will not condemn you. If you get condemned at the end of your life, don't blame God or anybody else. Blame yourself. Because he has done everything on his behalf to give you his mercy. Everything. What more can I do for you, my people, that I have not already done? And so, that's why even in the end, the most wicked of sinners, if in that, I believe, in that the instant we die, God gives us one last shot, one last chance to be able to say, oh, forgive me, I've sinned, and to receive from him his mercy. And if in that moment, if we've rejected it all our life, we might reject it then too. So it's not his fault that we went to hell. It's our own. Because God is mercy. Look at that. Look at that. And tell me, that's not mercy. What is there in that for him? What did Jesus gain for himself by dying on the cross? Nothing. He didn't need to do that for himself. He did it for you. He did it for me. Because I'm the sinner that should have been there. And that's not rhetorical. That's factual. That's real. I'm the one who should be nailed to the cross. Me, Thomas Bennett. Put your own name in there if you understand this. Because he took it upon himself, my sins, your sins, the sins of all those of the past, of all those that were there with him in the moment, and of all those who would even after that come after him and have received the great gift. And that's why he gave us today this sacrament. Twice he says, peace be with you. Peace, I want peace in your heart and your soul and your mind. I want you to come to me and find in me the strength, the grace, the light, the mercy that you need so that you can live in peace. Not just a passing commodity of the world. No, an interior, profound peace of your soul in the midst of all the tribulations and wars and discriminations and hatred, to know that I am with you and I am your salvation. I will give you my mercy. And having done so, he breathed on them. As the Father sent me, I have my authority from the Father. So now I give you this authority, I send you. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And thus it is my gift to you, my priests, that I am giving this gift to forgive sins. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. All I need is the sinner to come humbly and say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And this is what I've done. I'm sorry, and I ask for forgiveness and absolution. And every time that a sinner comes before God through his minister, the priest, and asks for that forgiveness, God, through the priest, reaches out his hand and says, I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the mercy of God. That is the mercy of God. Never shy away from it. Never think, oh, same thing. I did it again. Forget it. God's done with me. I can't go any further. God's mercy cannot be abused in that way because he is mercy. No matter what you've done, the only sin he cannot forgive is when you reject his mercy. That's the deadly sin, to reject the mercy of God. But if you are humble enough to come back and say, I'm sorry, I failed. I might even fail again tomorrow in the same thing. Lord, you know me better than I know myself. I might fall right flat on my face again. I did this today. I'm asking forgiveness. And I'm so weak, I might fall on it again tomorrow. I don't want to, but I know how weak I am. I'm fighting it, Lord, but please help me. I can't do it without you. But even if I don't want to do that and I do it again, right now, you know that in my heart, I'm sorry, and I ask for your mercy. And he says, I forgive you. Go and sin no more. Three of the most beautiful words in the scriptures is after that adulterous woman is taken before Christ, and everybody wants to stone her, and they all have stones in their hand, and they all say, what do you say? And Jesus says, those who have no sin throw the first stone. Of course, from the oldest to the youngest, they dropped their stones and went away. And then Jesus stands before the woman and says, has no one condemned you? And she says, no one, sir. And then he says these most profound and beautiful words, neither do I condemn you. I who could throw stones and put the law before you. I who could fulfill the justice for your sins by giving you the punishment you deserve. I, your God, do not condemn you because I wish you to go and sin no more, to strive to come away from sin. Did she go and sin again? Did she fall? Only God knows. But he gave her that grace and that opportunity and his mercy to come away from sin and back to grace, back to my love. He does that for you, if you're open to it, and for me. That's why sacrament of confession is a repeatable sacrament. Because he knows that even after having received it once or twice or 1,000 times, we're going to need it again. This is our God. He's not a tyrant. He's a father. He's not a condemner like we often are. We see somebody do something and poof, you're done. Now, he's always willing to forgive to the prodigal son. He doesn't even let him finish his confession. He embraces him and, Father, forgive me. Dress him up. Get him in the house. That's God. A father who loves you, who died for you on the cross, to show you the depth of his mercy for your soul. What can we say but thank you, God? I did that to you, but you did it for me, so that I could be saved from what put you there. What a gift. Today, Divine Mercy Sunday, by coming to Mass, having gone to confession within the last 20 days or in the next 20 days, and receiving Holy Communion, praying for the intentions of the Holy Father, you can receive a plenary indulgence of the penalty of your sins. So after having received communion today, if you go out and end up, hopefully that doesn't happen, but it'd be as if you were newly baptized. Yeah? You'd go straight to heaven. Let's ask God to give us the grace to understand who he is as our Father, who art in heaven. Yeah? Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come in my soul. Your will be done in my life, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. And let us learn from you to forgive others the way you forgive us. To share your mercy with the world. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Let's ask God the Father on this day of his love and his mercy through his Son and his Spirit to give us the grace to understand what he's done for us and to live the sacraments. Every sacrament is a work of God's mercy in our soul. You were confirmed today. You'll receive your communion. You did your confession. You're going to have the sacrament of marriage. This is God working in the soul, saying, I am with you. I forgive you. I love you. And I want you home with me. Thank you, God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.